when the Players Alliance got wind of what the mixtape was, it wasn't one of those things where I called them and said, can we partner? Yeah. No, it was a situation where they started to listen to the podcast. Several players started listening to the podcast or were either guests on the podcast. They would share it with their other players. And then the executive director of the Players Alliance got wind that there was this podcast going around that their players were talking about or on or wanted to be on. And they reached out and said, hey, we like what you're doing. How can we figure out ways to amplify this?
What's up, Dad Hat Crew, and welcome to another episode of the Dad Hat Chronicles podcast. This week, we finish our conversation with Mark Cheatham, also known as Cheats, of the Black Baseball Mixtape. We discuss his involvement in Major League Baseball, right? What he's doing with Black Baseball Mixtape, some of the things that he's been able to do, the things that he has gone at the time. And then also, we have a really back and forth conversation, really good. It was one of my favorite conversations I've had in a long time regarding the World Series, baseball, its involvement, and whether or not it was popular or not popular. Listen, you guys got to listen to it because it was really good. We both end up on different aspects of this conversation, which is really good. And I think it's very entertaining for you guys to listen to. And then, obviously, my famous, not-so-famous question. But before I give you guys the episode, I wanted to make sure that you guys understand that, hey, listen, we are a little over a month away from the Kirkbrand Media Meetup here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to be visiting the Holly Springs Salamanders, the Carolina Mudcats, and the Durham Bulls. So you guys got to make sure you guys come down here. It is May 24th, 25th, and 26th. Three baseball games, 3 days. I mean, come on now. Bunch of content creators, bunch of friends from minor league baseball community. We're going to be here hanging out, drinking some beer, and talking baseball. I mean, come on now. So, all right. Now that part's done, without further ado, guys, I give you the episode.
For content creators, and it's easier said than done, but again, there's a lot of things that come into play when you're talking about just content creation in general. One of the things that I do think makes things harder is, like I said, I'm in my 40s. I do a lot of interviews with younger players, mm-hmm. but I do think that there is there's a system in place,
yes.
where it's going to be much harder for, you know, people my age to be able to break through whatever breakthrough looks like. I'm not really kind of tied into that because of what I feel like the mixtape is such a purpose-driven platform, mm-hmm. that I'm less concerned with who can I partner with and who can I, like, how can I get more exposure, as much as are we kind of serving this mission. And I do believe if we serve the mission well and good enough, then we're building this really, really cool community that is different than I think people would look at. And so content creation is an interesting thing where there's kind of the content you create, and then there's the reach that it has. And it really does depend on your value system, whether you kind of value the content you create or do you value the reach that you're going to get. And a lot of paying entities and sponsors, they don't care about the substance. They care about the reach. But
they care about their ROI.
Right. They care about the role. Even if it's not ROI, they care about the reach. And I'll tell you why I say that. If I had 50 supporters, mm-hmm. and all 50 of them are going to buy your product, but the other person with 500 supporters, these are just, you know,
numbers. Yeah.
The 500 is more attractive than the 50, even though the 50 is going to be a better ROI.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure out, like I said, you got to figure out reach versus, and obviously the answer is to try to blend both of those. But yeah, it's an interesting balance of what the creator is looking for. And I just got to be frank with you, and I couldn't be more thrilled about what BBM is building and how we're going about it and what the season looks like coming into 2024 and the friends that we're making. Like, you know, it's a cool thing to be able to go to random ballpark X and go in our group chat and say, is anybody in town who's going to go to this game, and kind of have friends in all of these baseball towns. It's a lot of fun.
That's amazing. I love that. It's purpose driven. And I think that's awesome. You guys are doing great. So I love the message. I love the mission. I think it's great. I think it's much needed, especially right now in 2024, right? To be highlighting these amazing players that, you know, not normally wouldn't be getting any kind of being put on out there by, you know, by you guys. So, because we know that, you know, if you're not playing for the big, you know, teams, then you're probably not going to get a lot of exposure on ESPN or Fox Sports.
Yeah. I mean, the media part of this is still very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, you could turn on ESPN.
It's tomorrow, breaking through.
Yeah. You could turn on ESPN tomorrow morning and you're going to be talking about NFL free agency in the offseason, right? You're going to be possibly talking about this week you're going to be talking about March Madness. But, you know, last week when NFL free agency really broke, you wouldn't have thought baseball existed. Right. You're thinking like, so-and-so is going to sign here. So-and-so is going to sign here. Where one of the things I'll never forget this. I tell this story often. I guess so. It was 2 years ago when Aaron Judge broke the AL home run record. So Aaron Judge has 30 plus before the All-Star break. I mean, he's on a tear of home runs. And everybody's like, in the baseball world, is like, are you seeing what Aaron Judge is doing? So Aaron Judge breaks 30 before the All-Star break. And I remember thinking like, man, if they're ever going to cover, if the mainstream kind of ESPNs, FS1s, if they're ever going to cover baseball, let's see if Aaron makes the show, because he's just on this amazing tear. I will never forget, they led every sports talk show that morning with Baker Mayfield signing with like the Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
And I was like, what is happening? Aaron Judge in New York City, a Yankee, going after this record, and is on this like historic tear. And they led every show with a backup quarterback at the time being signed to, you know, to a very low level team. And then you realize like something dramatic and extraordinary will have to happen in order for baseball to get put in proper context. Because again, I hate to say it this way, the media in many ways leads what people are talking about. And so if you did lead those shows with, you know, baseball, 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 you would have people complain for a second, but they're not going to turn off SportsCenter. So they're ultimately going to try to figure out like what's happening. And you would start to see more coverage, but you know, those outlets, a lot of outlets have written off baseball for years. And I don't exactly know how that's happened, but there's some computer, some algorithm somewhere that says, you know, ESPN's going to lead with football just about every day. And if you're not leading with football, you're leading with an amazing basketball story. And very rarely do you even get like baseball on the show. So, and it's gone that way for a long time. So, this is just what we're up against.
I want to know what happens when the UFL starts, right? The spring football league, and then whether or not that's going to be getting more coverage than Major League Baseball.
You know, that's an interesting question, and I hate, like, I don't want to go into media cloaking dagger stuff because I'm not an insider in that way whatsoever. I do think that the NFL is so tied in to all of the major networks that a secondary league, even if it's on those networks, are so afraid of what the NFL will do that they will not make those leagues as lucrative as they should be, like, or could be.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a level of understanding what you're getting.
Unless you have manifold sense, like, oh no, we're partnering with this league. You know, there are minor league system.
You're right. I mean, I would be very interested to see how successful.
Well, so far, none of them have succeeded.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying it does. This seems like a good shot, but I also, you know, I'm just really interested to see how that works. And you know, baseball is a long season. I do think that there's more excitement around baseball this year.
I agree.
Just being kind of immersed in it. And I actually, you know, I hate to say it this way. People have killed me. They've killed me on my own podcast for saying this. But I do think the one of the most harmful things that happened to baseball in the kind of our current iteration right now is the Diamondbacks and the Rangers in the World Series. It just kills me to this day.
Why is that?
Because it had it been the Braves, the Dodgers, the Orioles, the ratings would have been a lot better. Like, people would have paid way more attention to those, like a Dodgers in the World Series, Atlanta Braves in the World Series. I think they would have actually played a little bit more attention to the Orioles in the World Series. Like, they picked basically Houston Astros, the Houston Astros that got in the World Series. They picked some really tough markets to say, this is the crown jewel of our season. And then the ratings reflect, it was the lowest rating game one in the history of baseball, basically.
100%. I agree with that there. But here's my thing. I think I think it serves them right to have those two teams for in low ratings. It does.
You tell me why. You go with it. Tell me
because
this.
It's because it's finally showing them that it's like, okay, you guys are putting Major League Baseball is putting all of this time and effort in showcasing the big teams, the Dodgers, the Yankees, you know, Boston Red Sox, right?
The Phillies had win, it would have been
100%. Like, good friend Paul Caputo, he would have been thrilled to see the Phillies on there, right? But the fact that we have these two teams that we had there, it shows them that it's like, you know what? Because I hate to say this, but like, let's bring the NFL to this, right?
Sure.
The NFL, no matter what teams you have there, they're going to watch the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Because you want to see they've created the heroes and the villains, right? So it's the truth, though. Like, I hate it to see.
No, I think they're going to watch the Super Bowl, but I think they're watching regardless because of the spectacle. My wife watches the Super Bowl because Usher performed at halftime in the commercials. Right. Like seriously, the year before that, it was Rihanna in the commercials. This year it was Usher in the commercials. She could care less. He was on the field.
Yep.
Harder to do in baseball because it's a
seven game series. Yeah.
But I mean, I was hoping for, you know, I'm an Orioles fan, diehard Orioles fan. So I was hoping for the O's to be better. But the fact that you literally had two teams that probably shouldn't have even been in the playoffs playing in the World Series, it's difficult. It's difficult. I think it's harder to get invested.
But that's it. Again, it goes to it serves and right. You're talking about like this is a regional sport. You know, let's start highlighting the players. Let's start highlighting the players, not just with the Yankees or the Dodgers, but with every team. And let's start highlighting these teams on, you know, Friday Night Baseball or Thursday Night Baseball, where they have it on Amazon now, you know, Saturday night, I think it is, right? Start highlighting.
I get it. It's tough.
It is.
If you put that Rangers Diamondbacks game on a random Sunday Night Baseball, it would have still been awful. It would have still been an awful series.
But it was actually, to me, I loved it. You know what I mean? Obviously,
it was intense. It was an intense series.
It was an intense series, and it went the way it went. You know, and it's we'll see how it happens this year.
To the playoffs credit in general, that Houston Astros Texas Rangers series was absolutely amazing.
That was a
really good one.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the Phillies knocked off the Braves, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was awesome too. Like, they had some good playoff moments that I think, you know, the world, like, our people could get behind and you know.
But I'm just so tired. I'm so tired of seeing the same teams over and over and over again. You know what I mean? I just want to see something new, something different. You know, if who knows, we might just get the same teams that, you know, from a couple of years ago. Houston might be back in it. You know what I mean?
Maybe the pitching that they've got, maybe. But I'm excited. I'm excited about seeing how all of this stuff fits together, especially for 24. 24, I think, is going to be really exciting. And I think we're going to have better narratives if people tell them. I think we're going to have better stories if people tell them. There's already so many kind of exciting stories, you know, new great players in new places on paper. I mean, like you just mentioned that they're the big payroll on the block, but on paper, the Yankees lineup looks from top, and I'm an Orioles fan, but the Yankees lineup from top to bottom is scary. You know, you put Soto batting second, Judge batting third, Stanton's batting seventh. I was like, in what world is Giancarlo Stanton batting seventh, you know?
But the Yankees pitching is the, to me, it's their,
they've got some problems. Stroman is there. He's new. If they can get a Rodon that can perform, right? Like, mm-hmm. Cole's already out, so.
That's what I'm saying.
You're gonna see, yeah. So
to me, the Yankees are, and this is what I call it. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. They're the regular season champions.
What? So before we get too off color here, but like, no, seriously, because we just talked about the Yankees, the world is going to be talking about the Dodgers lineup. So
when 100%. Mookie,
Freddie, Ohtani, Yamamoto's over there. Like, it's going to be insane, and. Like,
the reach that team can have worldwide.
Yeah. No, it's huge.
Wow.
It's huge. The best story, so this offseason, so the Ohtani news breaks in December. I'm actually on a baseball trip with the Players Alliance in the Bahamas. They're doing this Bahamas Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
But when the news breaks, and this is, again, one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the season, and knowing that things are changing a little bit.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in a place where, like, I hate to say it, the only thing you can really compare it to is like some tragic situation where like one person looks at their phone, then everybody starts looking at their phone, and they're all just like, you know, like what natural disaster is happening? That's exactly what happened. So I'm there. I'll never forget this. I'm standing next to CeCe Sabathia and Chris Young from the MLB Network.
Yeah.
And the news pops up, Shohei to the Dodgers. So, you know, we get the news of what team he's going to because he posted on Instagram before the numbers come out. So we don't know the numbers. We just know Shohei to the Dodgers. I'm sitting there. I show them the phone. They're like, that's not real. I can't be real. Oh, no. Then, like, the next thing, you know, it's like just pops around. Everybody's looking at their phone. There's just this buzz going around.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. So Tommy Pham is like standing probably about, you know, a couple feet behind CeCe and Chris. And I'm standing there. And I just remember because Tommy Pham technically is still a free agent. But I remember looking over at him and his face is just like, oh my God. And so then the number comes out. And so, you know, you're telling these guys, these like former players and so forth, $700 million for 10 years.
Jeez.
They're going nuts. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And it was just the whole thing, the whole Home Run Derby audience is going nuts. And you're just like, this is something different. Like, what's happening with baseball is going to be so exciting. And all of them, to a man, to their credit, was like, he's going to make that, like, the Dodgers are going to make that back in, like, year one. And it was just like, he's going to be that big of an international in national attraction.
So when you were there with the Players Alliance, right? Yeah. And then you saw the contract, right? That they came out. Yeah. But you saw how it was being deferred, a lot of that money.
So we didn't know that until day later, 2 days later. We were still there, I think, when the deferment numbers came out. And all of those guys were still like, yeah, like they kind of understood it more than my wife would have. Like, I didn't get it. Like, if I couldn't go home and tell my wife that I'm turning down $68 million until year 10,
mm-hmm.
but they kind of understood him because I guess he makes so much money in endorsements where it was like the Dodgers wouldn't have been able to field a team if they're paying him $70 million.
That was my thought. It's like, I don't, you know, to me and you, if I tell that to my wife, she kicks me.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a divorce. Go fix that contract.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's not going to happen.
Right. Exactly. But for him, he makes way more money in endorsement deals is just like,
and this is a little bit part of the course for baseball. People don't know this, but this year, Ken Griffey Jr. is making $3.5 million from the Reds. So Ken Griffey Jr.
hasn't
played a game in I don't know how long is actually going to make more money than Shohei this year on a baseball coach.
He's not even playing. He's doing some ads on workout.
Hasn't played in years. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's kind of part of the core. Everybody talks about Bobby Bonilla Day, but the fact of the matter is baseball has a lot. If you look at these, if you examine these rosters, they have a lot of deferred salaries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a smart thing for those players to do.
Yeah.
If you're a player like that, like Ken Griffey and, you know, like Bobby Bonilla, it's like, yeah, let's go ahead and defer. That means I am set for life, literally set for life, and I don't have to do a thing.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, my God. I love that. You know, we're an hour in, and I'm loving this. Let's keep going. But let me ask you this. A couple of things on the Players Alliance. How was that experience for you? Because, I mean, that's a great partnership that you have with them going on right now. Like, that experience going down there, showcasing these players, how was that?
Yeah, it's amazing. The Players Alliance is an amazing organization. It's run by an amazing executive director, Marguerite Purvis. It is done by the will of the players. And these are all things that I didn't know when the Players Alliance started. I didn't know them until, I want to say, last season. But in the wake of 2020, Edwin Jackson, Curtis Granderson, CeCe Sabathia, and D. Strange Gordon started the Players Alliance. And they started it with the idea of trying to figure out ways to amplify voices, level the playing field, and it was really took off. They got a lot of buy-in from not just Black players. There are Black players in the Players Alliance, but there's also white players in the Players Alliance that donate cheerfully to leveling the playing field. MLB supports it as well. Just about every entity you can think of supports it.
Correct.
But it's the will of the players, how they kind of use the, it's one, all the players that join donate into it. And they form this nonprofit based off of the players' donations. And then there's other matches.
Yep.
But it really is basically the players putting their money and their actions, you know, to work. And to try to do it in the right way. And there's so much need that it really runs the gamut in regards to diversifying and being inclusive in all areas of the game. No one thinks about, you know, how many Black umpires are there? How many Black, you know, you might, when you think of front office, you're thinking of, you know, GMs and ops guys. How many Black people work in sales? How many Black people work in the scouting departments? So it's not just...
It's just leveling the playing field.
Yeah, it's just kind of all across the board. Now, and again, it is about development. It is about giving kids an opportunity to play on the field as well. But there's so much need to make these spaces more inclusive. And that, and just directly to get to our partnership with the Players Alliance, it was a situation where... we need more Black people in media telling these stories. And so, you know, when the Players Alliance got wind of what the mixtape was, it wasn't one of those things where I called them and said, can we partner?
Yeah.
No, it was a situation where they started to listen to the podcast. Several players started listening to the podcast or were either guests on the podcast. They would share it with their other players. And then the executive director of the Players Alliance got wind that there was this podcast going around that their players were talking about or on or wanted to be on. And they reached out and said, hey, we like what you're doing. How can we figure out ways to amplify this? And that's how it started. And I've been able to go on some trips. I think the first one we did was the All-Star Game in Seattle last year with a very specific purpose, by the way. It was, and you know, to our credit, I think to the credit of what the mixtape does, we deliver that the content I think that our community is looking for, and that's the community and the demographic as well, the Players Alliance. But it's, yeah, we were able to go out to Seattle, cover the first ever HBCU Swingman Classic, able to cover a lot of younger players that played the Futures game, was able to highlight really There was a softball team that kind of stole the show in Seattle called Tony's Promise, which was a softball team put together by the Players Alliance to play in the softball tournament that happens around the All-Star game. So it was some of the best high school black women in the country, which had never been done before. And so we covered all of that stuff. We partnered with a minority baseball prospect as well. They've kind of got a grasp on college and high school black players and giving them a platform. All of this stuff is brand new. All this stuff didn't exist even 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so all of us are kind of coming together and working together and bouncing resources off of each other. And so I do pride ourselves on working with all these entities in a way of kind of being a media voice or an outlet where, especially if they feel that they need someone to tell the story accurately, we can do that.
That's amazing. And then, you know, you're selling yourself a little short here, man. You're on the web page right now. And then, you know, I'm looking at the video that they have here off the record on the field.
Yeah.
You're in there, my friend.
Well, there's stories behind everything. I'll keep this one short, but that was a collaborative effort. But I will say this. The idea, I told you in the past, I was a hip hop writer.
Yeah.
The idea of that concept came from a conversation that I had with the Players Alliance. The actual concept of this is what we should be doing. Now, never once did I say I need to host this. We actually had an amazing host that they hired, Van Lathan, who is an amazing, amazing host. And we were doing logistics literally the night before. It was like midnight. We were doing logistics the night before the panel. And they were like, hey, you're going to have to sit in on this and not have to, but we'd like you to sit in on this and co-host it as well. And so that's how some of that came about. But I'm also one of my backgrounds I pride myself in is the logistics of kind of doing things in the background. It's just kind of who I am. Mm-hmm. I like podcasting. I don't mind being on the camera. I love what we're doing, but I'm also one of those guys that's like, for lack of a better term, it's, what was the movie? The Town. Right? Have you ever seen The Town?
Mm-hmm.
The Boston heist movie. John Hamm and all of them. Yeah. He had the line in there. It was like, this is the not effing around crew.
Yeah.
That's kind of me and our friends. We like logistic wise, we consider ourselves the not effing around crew. So we one of the reasons I think we're able to be in front of the camera, even forward facing, is because behind the scenes we're doing everything we need to the right way.
I love that. I love that, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. I like that. You know what? And there's nothing wrong because I'm not that good at the behind the scenes. So, you know, we need to talk there because that you can show me a couple pointers here.
Your life will be so much easier, my man. And I tell my kid this all the time. I learned this lesson late, but if you ever notice, the kids with good grades are able to do whatever they want in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my kid this all the time. You're getting watched all the time if you're not making good grades. If you're making good grades and doing your homework and doing all this stuff behind the scenes, you will be surprised, and that's in life. You'll be surprised the latitude you get, like, to be able to do things that we think are like awesome and forward facing. Well, nah, we had to make sure that paperwork was cleared on the back end. I wasn't the only one invited by the Players Alliance to do X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? But I knew my stuff was going to put me in the places that got us where we need to be.
You knew that exactly what was going to happen, you know, like, and wanted to make sure that it was getting done.
And then you still had, you know, you still have to deliver. They have to deliver. And so,
I love it, man. All right, my friend, I think
we're
covered a bunch of stuff here, man. I love it. We can be talking for hours here.
Yeah, I know. We can come back. We can do something later.
We will. I most certainly will have you back on, but I want to go into my famous, not so famous questions here. Okay. And the one question that I ask everybody, okay, is very simple. So you're going to, let's say you're going to the Richmond Flying Squirrels ballpark, right?
Yeah.
You're going as a fan, you're hanging out, family. What is your food and your drink of choice?
At the Squirrels, I'm very specific because I go there all the time.
Okay.
I pronounce it wrong, but I think I think I called it a hangover dog, but it might not be a hangover dog, but It's a quarter long hot dog, chili cheese and squirrely fries on top, and I'll do that with a Coke Zero.
Okay, I love it. It's a hot dog.
I'm a hot dog guy, but this is specific. I mean, it's got the melted cheese, it's got the squirrely fries. That sounds on
delicious.
Top. It's really good. It's really good.
It's one ballpark that's on my list that I got to get to. I'm like,
oh please, if you come this year, I got you. Seriously,
yeah, we're good. I'm not too far. I've literally just looked at it. I'm like 2-3 hours away from where you're at. Because
we are gonna have a black baseball meetup in Richmond. We've already had one in Houston. Yeah, come down, man. We'll let you know. We'll definitely have a meetup in Richmond.
Well, I'm actually gonna extend an invitation, and at the end of May, Corporate Media, we're having a meetup down here.
Okay.
We're 3 days. We're watching 3 different ballparks. We're going Holly Springs, Salamanders, Durham Bulls, and the Carolina Mudcats. So you're more than invited.
Well, yeah, we'll have to figure this out. I love baseball, man. I love games.
Oh, I love going to baseball. So are you a stats guy, or are you more of a body language, you know, looking at the whole situation for a baseball game when you're at a game?
Yeah, no, I don't scorecard. I don't.
Okay, I suck.
Keep a book. Yeah, I can do it, but I don't. I was thinking this year I might want to start scorecarding, but I'm much more off the vibes. Watch the game. Yeah. The only problem about scorecarding is, as you can tell,
you gotta pay attention.
Yeah, I talk a lot. I mean, there's people. We have people at the game with us. I've got kids. Like, my kids running around. So we're. I will tell you this though. I am huge now into autographs. And so what I mean by that, baseball started collecting baseball cards around the time we started the mixtape. Just happened to be kind of coincidental. And being at a double A stadium, you get a lot of prospects. So I'm trying to kind of get to the place where if I can get, you know, Jackson Holliday's signature or somebody that's cool like that, we're gonna do that. So that's all my pregame. My pregame is mostly like stalking players.
That's cool. You are one person that you like to go in early. Do you like watching batting practice and things like that?
Oh yeah. Anytime I can be at the field. Say last year the Squirrels, and rightfully so, but the Squirrels gave me a media pass, so I literally had access to the field at any time. But I would go early, late, anything I could do. Because oftentimes, dude, we do interviews, like we do BBM interviews in the clubhouse or in the dugout before the game or after the game. So I'm always around, but I love, yeah, just being around the ballpark and, you know, getting autographs and doing that stuff.
All right. Okay. You're walking down the street, right? Just by yourself. You're hanging out. You're walking down the street and you see $10,000 laying there. $10,000. Okay. It's yours. Nobody sees it. It's yours. It's yours to keep. What is the first thing you buy with that money?
I take it to my wife. I'm a married man, bro. Happily married. I'm with you there, brother. And I know who runs the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great. She'll let me do some stuff with it. But the first thing I'm going to do is take it to my wife and say, honey, I found 10 grand. What do we need to do with this?
You and me are the same, because I will do the same thing. It's babe.
I'm not getting divorced over 10 grand.
I'm not getting in trouble.
I'm just taking it to the boss, you know, and let her decide what we need and then what I'm allowed to spend.
Can I keep a little bit so I can buy some more hats?
Yeah, she'll let me do something, but yeah. I'm not risking that.
All right. You're at the ballpark. What is your favorite area to watch the game?
Lower level third base sub.
Okay. You are like, yep, lower level third base. That's my spot.
It might change. You know, they're building a new stadium in Richmond in 2026.
Yep.
May change this year. Third base side for Richmond gets a lot of sun. So I know we Sundays are our day. Sunday afternoon games is our jam. It's the kids club day, and we make, you know, you get to throw in the outfield before the game and run the bases after. So we haven't missed a Sunday game unless like there's a real emergency in probably 2 years. This year should be no different. So I think we're going to switch to third base to first base side just because of shade.
Yeah.
You live and you learn. But yeah, third base side, lower level is by far, since I was, you know, young going to games, that's it.
Dude, I'm a pasty white Puerto Rican. I would turn red as a lobster if I sit in the sun for too long, man. I can't be doing that.
Yeah, man. We had a couple years when I was in college because I went to college in Richmond. We'd still go to all the games. We had a couple years when we were in college where it was like you know, the guys are like far upper deck in like right field. And they're just like, what are those idiots doing? It was like, you know, five or eight of us just, yeah, you know, we were of legal age to drink. So we were all just like
hanging drinking out.
And yeah, not even, but we like to like, we like to interact with the players. So you got to be kind of lower level to, mm-hmm. to do that and make sure they hear you. And, you know, I'm much more calmer than I was in my younger days.
And same here. Like, I was like, I remember those days back well too well, man.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
All right. Couple more questions and then I will let you go, my friend. Okay. What, who was your favorite superhero growing up?
Ooh, not really a superhero guy. I'm really not really a superhero guy. I was not a superhero fan of any way. So I'm going to go with probably my most memorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably Green Lantern.
Okay.
All
right.
But I'm not a superhero guy at all, but probably Green Lantern.
You never got into the Marvel, DC?
No, no. My wife is huge into it, but not me.
You're like, I don't have the time for that.
When I married her, which is over 10 years ago now, that was when I first, like, I watched the first Avengers movie. Like,
no way.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about, like, the Marvel universe until her. I think Thor. Thor might have been the first one I watched.
Okay. All right. I like it. All right. Woods or the beach?
Beach.
Beach all day long, dude. All day long. But although I do love hiking and I love going into the woods, hanging out and all that, but man.
Nah, beach. not my thing. Hiking, no. Yeah. Hiking, not my thing. Nope.
You're like, Ed, you're on your own there.
Nah,
I'll wait down here.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. And your favorite, the perfect vacation day or spot for you?
I have two.
Okay.
They're vastly different.
I love it.
New York City.
Okay. Interesting.
Love New York City. Love everything about New York City. Love, again, I don't know if this is before we went on the air, but sneakers, hats, mm-hmm. that type of stuff. Lower East Side, you know, anything like music, entertainment. I was a, you know, giant hip hop head.
Mm-hmm. And that's mecca of hip hop.
Yeah, it's just a mecca of culture. Like, it is, even to this day, there's so much cool stuff and pockets that happen in New York City that I really do love it. The other place is a place that we go often with our family at least once a year, Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they're completely different.
Yes,
I'm on the bigger side. I'm starting a diet yesterday. But you like the food in Charleston, the scenery, if you're talking about just a beautiful place to chill, they've got minor league baseball. They've got the College of Charleston. It's great. It's a great place to be.
And just, you know, it's the Charleston River Dogs there, man. I love that. I love that. And I did, you know, you reminded me. So I did have to ask, you know, have you counted how many hats you own, or is there an average number? Or do you not want to say because you don't want your wife to find out?
No. I've never counted. And it is a lot. We didn't really talk. We didn't really go into detail about the mm-hmm. problem of my hat collection. But it's bad. It's bad off. And I love it. And I do. But it's one of those things where, really, if I see an amazing hat
mm-hmm.
that, like, I'm not going to not pull the trigger on it at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the obsession really did start. Well, I've always worn hats as a young kid, because I always played baseball. I always wore hats. It never went away. But when the Negro League stuff really started to take off, when the Negro League hats really started to make an imprint in the community and the culture, and you knew this was happening because you would see people that didn't even know what team they were wearing. They were just wearing a Negro League hat because it was very cool. I went crazy because as a baseball fan and a fan of kind of the history and the culture of the actual league, now to have the opportunity to go to a place like Mickey's Place at the time and get like as many Negro League hats as possible. Oof. Like, and then Ebbetsfield Flannel did like a Negro League cap. Like, you know, bro, all of this was leading into the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, which was, you know, I hate to say it, but kind of ruined because of COVID.
Yeah.
Centennial year. And but all of the hat opportunity. So then it just spiraled. And I don't know if you're following like the stuff that minor league baseball, MILB, is doing with the nine every year. They're releasing like Negro League capsules and throwbacks and stuff.
Yep.
And so long story short is so many hats, a lot of Cooperstown, not just Negro League, but Cooperstown Hall of Fame type hats. Now I've gotten into a little bit more of, you know, cascading logos. Obviously, at first I was one of those guys. At first I was like, side patch, what's that? Now you're getting, you know, Batterbins and side patches, but a major problem. A major, major problem.
Is it just baseball hats, or do you own other sports as well?
So it's just baseball and then the Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
Okay.
And so I have tons and tons of Knicks hats, and I actually find myself not wearing them. Not out of like I want to perceive them or nothing. It's just I wear so many baseball hats now. Baseball has really taken over, but it's a lot of Knicks hats and then just so many baseball hats, and I love them.
Both minor and major.
Minor, major, like I said, Cooperstown Hall of Fame collections, Negro Leagues.
Love it.
The only thing that I really, in regards to hats, the only thing that really kind of throws me off is if there is absolutely zero attachment to historical context. That does throw me off. Okay. So if you have, like, you know, Kansas City Monarchs hat and you make it, like, green. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, the Kansas City Monarchs.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, never wore a green. Now, people do that.
Yeah.
Because anything for the sake of fashion. But I don't necessarily, like, you've got to have some understanding of, like, what the team colors were. Like, try your best or try harder.
I love it. Love it. Cheats, man. This has been I might have to put this as a three-part episode. No, are you kidding? I am not sorry at all, my friend. This was a lot of fun, a lot of information. I will have you back on. I want to. You've been invited to the live, you know, that
sports show
because we will be talking baseball. You know, baseball is just literally just started, right? So, Caribbean Series, all that fun is already done. Yeah. So now we go into Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, I got a ton. How many World Baseball Classic hats? I got a ton of World Baseball Classic hats too.
Oh my God.
I got like just about as many as I could.
Good man. I try to see, but the thing is, I try to, you know, keep it to dad hats for me. And that was the problem with me. They didn't release a lot of them this year. Yeah, it was all new era 5950. Don't get me wrong, dude. I own my own share of 5950s, but I wanted the 920s and I could not find them anywhere.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I get
so. We will see you right again. Thank you so much, my friend. And then you guys follow Cheats, gotta follow Baseball Mag. They're doing some awesome work. Keep an eye out for them because they're about to blow up big time, man. So again, Cheats, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, man. And shout out to everything you and the whole team over there at Curbrim. They're amazing. They're a great group of people, and you guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate you, my friend.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Mark. I know I did. It was really good conversation, good back and forth. And this is what we're all asking for nowadays, right? Just have really good, meaningful conversations regarding baseball, the state of baseball, minority baseball, all of that, right? Like, I mean, the history. I think it was in enlightening, at least in my opinion, at least for me, having this conversation with Mark. So, but make sure you guys are following him. Make sure you guys are listening to his podcast because it's really good and he's giving you some good content out there. Make sure you go on his Instagram because he does go live a lot and you guys get a lot of good content from him there. Okay. Oh, and make sure you guys are doing the same for me, right? I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. I'm even on Threads. All right. So make sure you guys are giving me a follow. Give it 5 stars. Subscribe. Do the whole thing. All right, guys. All right. So now before I go, I got to give you guys my dad joke of the episode. And here it is. Did you hear about the houses that fell in love? It was a long distance relationship. All right. I see myself out, guys. Until then, keep grinding and always support the minor leagues. See ya.
This podcast is part of the Curved Brim Media Network. Here are some of the other members of Curved Brim Media.
Hi, this is Kelly Robinson, the minor league nerd. My YouTube channel explores the history of minor league baseball teams. More than just stats, we delve into team lineage, sharing stories from current franchises to obscure one-year wonders.
I'm Paul Caputo, and on the Baseball by Design podcast, I talk to minor league baseball teams, designers, and other super interesting people about what these minor league baseball logos mean, and I talk a little bit about ice cream helmets.
What's up, Bucketheads? I'm Anna DiTomaso, and each week on the Baseball Bucket List podcast, I speak with a different fan about their favorite baseball memories, what the game means to them, and what's left to check off on their baseball bucket list.
Hey everyone, it's Eric from the great state of Kansas.
This is Johnny from the New Orleans Baby Cakes Memorial Museum.
And we are the Earn Fun Average Podcast,
where we talk to a variety of guests about their love of baseball and have fun doing it.
America, lower your standards.
Average is what we do best.
This is Patrick.
And Corey.
Of BaseballMapper.com. And we have made an interactive map to help highlight all baseball teams from the majors down to collegiate summer leagues.
We want to bring you closer to baseball. So get on the site and find a team near you today.
Hey guys, this is Patrick Larson from the Minor League Baseball Hat History Series. And in every episode, I go through the history of minor league teams through my personal collection of hats. You can find me on Twitter at @PatLarson1. I hope you guys enjoy.
Learn more about Curved Brim Media at curvedbrimmedia.com.